Good morning, Liberian. Happy Sunday morning. It's good to be with everyone again in a sermon conversation. And per our usual, our normal way of engaging, we welcome you to join the chat. We'll be in the chat as well as a time of us being community and engaging with the questions and the statements and the things that come out of our sermon conversation today. As some of you remember, and for those of you who are just joining, we've kind of been in a sermon series, so to speak, where in the month of January, we've been pulling folks right out of the congregation to join the sermon conversation with Pastor Lena and myself, and as an opportunity for us to come around really as a congregation. This one idea of the incarnation, the embodying, the way the scripture talks about it as the embodying in flesh, right? That Christ is embodied in flesh. And what does that mean for us today? The way it's talked about in scripture is the word made flesh, right? The word made flesh. And as you've heard from our scripture reading today, John 1:14 is that scripture, and the word became flesh and came into the neighborhood, right? And so today our friends Hala, Manoah, and Trevor Cowley are joining us today. Trevor and Hala, I'm so excited when Pastor Lena asked me about Trevor and then Hala, it was like, oh, put these two together, this will be fun.
I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to get today.
Yeah, my favorite.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So, Hala, why don't you start? Word becomes flesh, right? Word, flesh. And what is that? How does that show up in your own life? And then Pastor Lena, you'll follow with just some thoughts from yourself about things like what we're learning in our conversations.
I think the two things that come to mind is suffering and working through. So I think as myself, as a very sensitive male, as a very sensitive young boy, I've always been easily touched by simple things. And I think, and so, but I feel like I kind of live in that sort of dark, painful place. So I really empathize with people who struggle. I mean, as a sort of a mostly a social worker, I'm attracted to people who struggle. And so part of my excitement about being with people who struggle is knowing how to sort of be hospitable to them in their feeling, but also not having an answer for that, but providing some space where we can maneuver together. I'm just here to still offer space to anybody who needs help maneuvering through it without me telling them where to go. So, yeah, I hope that makes sense.
It kind of resonates a little bit with what we were talking about last week, with Vanessa and Megan, sort of the word becoming
Yes.
fashion. And Michelle Lang, hope, I don't know if she's on this morning, but she chatted in last week that Michelle, if you're out there, I'm giving you credit. You know, she
He's
said
coming for you.
she said that, you know, let's to not use churchy words like flesh, but like the word became a person. And the word did become a person, Jesus, right? And so I think that some of what Hala was naming is how does that person, Jesus, show up in the world, right? And how do then we take our cues from that and also show up to one another, or for one another in the world? So thanks for that, Hala. I'm super grateful that you both said yes to be part of this conversation. Thanks.
Ever word made flesh, what comes to mind for you? How does that show up in your own life?
Yeah, I think for me it's a couple different ways. Is, you know, being new to my faith and my faith journey was a big part of that. Was to me, prior to really spending time at Lake B and getting into it, was kind of like this unobtainable thing. It was, you know, I'm not living the right way, or I'm not a good enough Christian, or I'm not giving enough tithing, or it was like this unobtainable thing. And by thinking about it in the flesh, it made me feel like God was here with me. God was a part of, you know, he's got my back. He's here to help. He's here to be amongst me. He's not this unobtainable thing, and heaven's not this unobtainable destination. He's here putting in the work. He's here being a part of the journey. So that for me, and then becoming a new father, I think, and seeing your own flesh and blood come to life and seeing that, you know, God is our Heavenly Father. Fathers don't, mothers, parents, they don't have to have all the answers, but that they're there to support you and they're there to do what's best for you. And I think that's what helps me get through and understand is it's not about having the answers. It's not about, you know, making sure that I am the best Christian that there is. It's what's my journey and what's my steps and my processes. And knowing that God is, you know, in flesh and here makes it a lot more easier, because, you know, just like our kids need their parents and need their father, we have our Father here working with us and helping us out.
Look at Trevor. Boy.
Come on, Trev.
Come on, Trev. And well, I
hang out
I
will, with you guys. You learn something.
I don't know about that. No, I think one of the things, Trevor, you bring up for me is in a recent conversation with my son, actually, I shared with him that the first time I think I really believed there was a God, like really go, oh my God, there is a God. And he is when Word made flesh, when he was born. When I got to see, like for the first time, a baby being born, I like, there's the God, right? There's a God. It was, and it's this idea that the Word is like a seed that goes into the ground and brings forth in it and becomes a real thing. And so for me, being able to tie together this idea that God shows up in flesh, and that it's that it can be, whether it's like what you were describing in terms of suffering, the beauty of that suffering. We oftentimes talk about suffering as bad, but remember, there's a beauty in the suffering. I like to say there's beauty in darkness, because if there wasn't, God wouldn't have made black people. So there's beauty in the darkness of the womb. There's beauty there, right? There's a beauty there. And that God, that Word becoming flesh, does show up in real life as fathers and mothers, as sisters and brothers, right? The ugly part of this is, I think, Trevor, what you just brought up, process.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't go boom. Like, Isaiah took 9 months in the belly to grow for this miracle, and there was pain and there was struggle, process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Jesus didn't just show up. There was 400 years in between. I could go on about this, Pastor Lena. Yeah. Word made flesh isn't just like a boom. It's more like an enduring process.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in our community of faith, Lake Merion Church, right? It's really all of us together really capturing that idea that we're in a process, and we're not just, you know, I always try to think of, you know, Lake B as sort of this, you know, it was a church community that was planted, you know, 80, 90 years ago. And any one of us, you know, I've been here for 10 years, so I'm just doing my part, right? And we're all just kind of going, and God has sort of seen fit to put us all us, but everybody who's a part of this community together for this period of time. And so can we commit to walk this period of time out together in community, which is not easy, as we've seen in the last 2 years, you know? And I think for all of us who kind of stayed together and held on to each other during the last 2 years, we have been through a process together, and not to let go, but to kind of hang on to one another while God hangs on to us. That's showing up. That's Word becoming like, not just flesh, but Word becoming like really tangible experiential community. And, you know, I hope that, you know, that we will all be able to tell a beautiful story about what God has done in this period of time that we share together.
Pastor Lena, I mean, from a pastoral perspective, do you see that word becoming flesh in terms of this unfolding process as something people kind of love about the faith? Like, yeah. I'm so excited. This is a process.
No, but I mean, I don't think, yeah, to your point, I don't think anybody goes, yay, let's be all about this struggle, you know? What I've heard mostly in the last 2 years is, I'm tired or I'm scared. I'm fearful. I'm anxious. I need to create space for my life. But you know, I don't, yeah, to your question, I don't think that people are saying, and I, you know, yay, but I do think that it requires, for us to help one another. I've seen people kind of, when the thing is needed, the right people show up, right? To bring, to fortify, that was a word that Vanessa used last week, to fortify our community. And that hard times, dark times, suffering, when the community can come together, it actually fortifies us. And she said, it doesn't degrade us. And I've seen that over time.
What have you learned about struggle in the process?
There's something about going through the process over a long period of time that you look back and you realized it wasn't what you expected. So our father was a chief, and Lena, you know, I remember sitting around sometimes and they had chiefs meetings in our house. And when they talk this very formal way of speaking Samoan, and I always view them as always looking not directly at each other, but kind of looking around, you know, and just sort of being contemplative while there's a main speaker. And I love that, because sometimes I struggle to sort of come with words when I'm eyeballing somebody. I need to sort of look away just a moment so I can concentrate on what I need to say. And there's something about that I really love about my cultural identity, is this contemplative way of processing and working through problems, because that's what chiefs do. They're trying to find a solution to something that's happened in our community. And it isn't like, is this what we're doing? It's like, hey, let me just throw this out there and let's get some feedback. It's not a normal way of talking in American culture or white culture. It's not, you know, this person has the answer. It's not, hey, I'm gonna speak, you guys all listen. I got it. Here's what we need. It's a kind of a back and forth, but a very reflective style of talking. That at the end there's maybe some form of resolution. But I love just that process of just sort of talking things out without having the real answer, but arriving it together.
And I think, you know, I can't say it as eloquently as Hala or, and, you know, as an intelligent. I think for me, I tend to take things and relate them to what I know. And that's, you know, being a dumb athlete most of my life. It was, you know, you go to practice every day, you work out every day, because when the moment comes, you want to have those built, right? You want to have, you don't want to think about it. You don't have time to think about it. You got to have those processes already built in place. To when the moment comes, you don't even think about it. And I think for me, that's trying to get my faith to that point to where I don't have to think about it. I know God's there. I don't have to rely on anything for that. And you know, if I go to the gym every day and pull up in the parking lot at 5 a.m. and say, cool, I went to the gym, right? Nothing's gonna happen. You gotta go and you gotta work out, right? You can't just show up. And I think for me, that's a big part of it. It's not just about going to church on Sunday. And
come on, you know, Trevor.
You can't just go on Sunday once a week and build that faith. You've got to do it every day, and you've got to build up, you know, those muscles, and you've got to be able to rely on it when the moment matters.
I think that's so interesting, Trevor, because I hope my brother doesn't listen to church. I won't call my brother a dumb athlete, but I mean, he often talks about the game is the game, but where everything happens is in practice, right? Definitely. And you practice more than you play the game, the actual game, right? And I just thought, I remember when he said that to me, I thought, oh, that makes a lot of sense, right? It's the showing up for the practice. You mean the game on Sunday or whenever it is, it's only 60 minutes, but you've spent however many hours in practice. So that's really, but I think also when we're talking about like, so what does it look like, Trevor, you know, for all of us to show up to our lives as believers and be conscious about what am I, you know, how am I, this gift that we have of the Holy Spirit living in us, and then being present to that every day as much as we can when we're in conversations at work. You know, Trevor, you have a really, you know, I often think about the work that you do and the people, all the people that you manage and the work that you do. You know, how do you, you know, how do you as a business person with a lot of responsibility show up as a believer and, you know, resist some of the ways that oftentimes, you know, business or whatever asks us to do things, knowing that that might come in conflict with what you believe is, you know, other kinds of, you know, the other things, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, could you talk a little bit about that? I don't know if you have an example, but I think that would be interesting to hear if you, how you think about that.
I think for me, it's one, I'm very blessed professionally as I work for a faith-based organization, and that's a pretty cool thing, right? So God's at the forefront of all of our business conversations, which is a unique thing in today's world. But in terms of the other aspect, I think it comes down to, for me, is having a greater cause. If you're there just to get a paycheck, you're going to do exactly what you have to do, but you're not going to do anything more. And, you know, as being a leader and being somebody who needs to, you know, inspire and motivate, I think it's finding a cause that's bigger than yourself. And whatever that is, you know, some people it's providing for their family. Some people it's about their work ethic. For me, it's, you know, a big part of it is my last name. You know, I put my email signature on everything because my last name means more to me than anything I could ever come up with. So I think it's finding that cause that's greater, and whatever it is, and finding a way to put that at the forefront of everything you do. And, you know, with us, it's putting faith and putting God first, because if he's first, you can't be wrong, right? So finding a way to make sure that you have that greater cause and you have that opportunity to do it for somebody else. Because if it's just yourself or it's just a paycheck in the business world, that'll work for a little bit, and it's always going to run out at some point.
Oh, true. That if I can just weave together this idea of the word made flesh unfolding as a process, that as Trevor rightly says, we have to show up to. We just can't drive up to the parking lot of the church and expect it to happen, right? It's word made flesh happens when we show up to engage and get in the game, so to speak, to practice, right? And Hala, this is one of the things that I have appreciated about you. You show up in people's lives. You show up as a friend to people. You show up with words of encouragement. In the smallest of ways, in the funniest of ways, in the lighthearted moments of a conversation, word made flesh also shows up in that way too, right? Because I see you as that kind of person who brings word made flesh, right, into laughter and into lighthearted moments. I don't know if you think about it like that, do you? Do you think about your lightheartedness and way of saying things that makes people laugh as word made flesh?
I do quite a bit. It's in fact, I'm surprised I didn't lead with that, because I think there's a lot of humor that helped me survive my own upbringing and childhood. But there's also a lot of humor in Samoan culture. Humor I use a lot in my theology. I remember I told Ron Ruthrup once, when my mom used to hit me sometimes, she'd say, oh, stop crying. Jesus cried too. You know, it's like, okay. All right. That makes it okay. Jesus cried, I cried. So, I mean, I just make silly jokes like that because my mom loved Jesus, but the way her theology hurts sometimes. So, but the point was well taken. But yeah, humor is what I use to survive quite a bit, survive my own shame, survive my own wanting to be identified somehow for some attention growing up. But I also use it to kind of break through, you know, to break through barriers, to make people at ease, or sometimes to make them kind of to maybe intensify some things for the sake of, oh, because there's two sides to this comment. But yeah, I wish this were a rated R conversation, because then my humorous theology would be more appropriate and I wouldn't be embarrassing my sister and as well as friends who know me. So, but yes.
Which, yeah. I think that's what we're trying to get to with these conversations, and we're trying to all get to as a community of faith is, can we, as best as we can, show up as our authentic who we are, because that's who we are. We're not this other version of what we think other people want us to be, because we have this, you know, thing, this, you know, need to clean up our lives and our faith so it's presentable, acceptable to other people. But you know, I would agree with you. I think if we're all honest, not just the four of us, but everybody who's listening in, you know, how do we create the kind of, not create, but how do we foster the kind of environment as a community of faith that really is just come as you really, truly, really are? Because a good friend of Tally and mine once said, you know, the anointing, which is basically the blessing of God, right, rests on the real you, not on the fake you, right? And so that's, you know, props to Aaron Haskins there, right? The anointing of God, the blessing of God rests on the real authentic you, you know? And I think that that's what we hope for, because that becomes good news for people all around us who are looking for an authentic expression of faith.
You know, can I also add to that, Tally? Yeah. In the process of experiencing, you know, violence, or, you know, when we talk about the theology being really rated R, I always want to encourage yourself is like, don't be surprised by the muck somebody else may be going through. Because I think God wants it like, like I wish we were less surprised by what things happening and more empathetic to going, oh yeah, yeah, that happened. Yep.
Yeah.
We're humans. We do great stuff and we do damage. So don't be surprised how much damage you witness in your life. God is still there. We can still choose to love because God always loves us. And it reminds me of, you know, when I worked at New Horizons and in my social work, I love telling kids especially when we visited in jail, I love reminding them, nothing you could do will separate God's love. God doesn't give a lick what you did. I may judge you because I'm broken, but I will do my best to love you as God loved you.
To Pastor Lena, to your story about our dearly departed friend, Aaron Haskins, when he preached that sermon, I was in the very back of the room. I didn't want to be there. You and I weren't friends.
There was a time, y'all, when Tally and I were not friends. And we will talk about that at another time.
Because there's a starting point for everything.
And it was really, are these people authentic? Because they're saying God wants the real me. And God's anointing shows up on the real me. Well, the real me wants to know that when you find out how broken I am, you're still going to say to me, you're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, and I'm here. And Word Made Flesh for me showed up in that moment when I was in the back of the room, didn't want to be there. Pastor Lena came back and pursued me and was like, hey, I just want to check in with you. I'm like, I am demonstrating every sign that I do not want to be here. I don't want this moment. I don't want to be in this place. And for many of us, that's where we are when word makes flesh, right? When it shows up and embodies in that way. Right, Trevor, me and you, when we were talking about this, you were like, I'm not a very good Christian. I'm like, look, go hit the ball. Let's play. Right. Because I wanted you to see, I didn't care how much you weren't something, right? Because that's where I learned so much in this theology, pastoral theology from Pastor Lena in a moment 20 plus years ago. And for many of us in Lake Burien, I think that's what we experience in our own community. Show up broken.
Yes.
It's okay. But what is worse is to hide and to isolate, because there's no way in which Word Made Flesh shows up when we hide and isolate. Mm-hmm. We need community and to be community to each other in those moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Woo, I can't believe I said all that.
Yeah, I can tell you, Tally, one thing I appreciate about you and Lena both is, and this goes, you know, I'm blessed and cursed to have the greatest mother-in-law on the planet. So having a pastor for a mother-in-law is a blessing and a curse. And especially when it's her, because she's one of those annoying people that's just like perfect and it's not fair and doesn't get upset and doesn't get mad. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. And she's, you know, she just has this ability to be able to drop a line on you. That's like, she's like the female Pastor Tupac. I mean, she just has it. And, you know, I, being new in faith again, going to her and asking questions and needing answers and expecting to get the answers. And it's always that like super smart, annoying, like college professor answer where they don't answer the question, they ask you a question. And it's like, it frustrates you at first because you're like, I'm coming to you for this. I'm coming for an answer. And they get you to open up about something else and then they enlighten. And it's like, man, it's what you need and it's not what you want. And that's something that, you know, that you and Lena both have in spades is the ability to relate and break down, you know, what it is, but not giving you the answer. And I think that's, again, part of being words, being in flesh is that flesh is part of the people that are in your circle or part of the people that you go to or the part of the people that you deal with on a daily basis. And it's, you know, I can tell my 2-year-old, here's the answer, but that's not going to help her. Let her find it out. And so I feel like my mother-in-law is letting me put the puzzle together. And even though she's got all the answers, it'd be a lot easier, but it's, you know, God's not looking to do what's, you know, what's easy for you. He doesn't really care about your feelings. A true father's doing what's best for you, regardless of what you want. So that sticks out to me for sure.
I can attest, Eliana, at times that you're referring to your mother-in-law, Eliana, that many of us know it. At times I feel like she does not care about my feelings. She has said to me many times, listen, little brother. And I'm like, oh no, I'm in trouble now. So
yeah, when the accent starts coming out, you're in trouble. You better grab
your seat. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Trevor, that's right. When I think about, you know, this idea, just authentic, like just let's just be real about whatever it is, right? And I think that's one of the things that I've enjoyed actually about, you know, your family, you and Gabi, but also Hala and Molly and your family. Y'all, I mean, you, what you see is what you get. Nobody's trying to fake the funk, right? And I think for all of us, like, you know, to have those kinds of relationships in our lives where we're committed to just let it be what it is. And to those of us that struggle, I do too, at times of feeling like I have to put on certain things because of what I think other people expect. That's a sure way to, you know, burn out, more isolation, you know, I think, I can't remember in a conversation, maybe it was last week, you know, those, that community, that closer knit group of people in your life where you're committed to walk it out, no matter how ugly it might get. Because it's real. And, you know, man, I hope that our faith community has maybe smaller pockets of, you know, people in our community where we're committed to, you know, whatever you say is not going to make me run. I'm here, you know? Right. So.
And that's the beauty in the darkness, if you will, of the womb, right? And I cannot be more grateful to each of you on this call for really your authenticity and vulnerability to have a real conversation, organic, right? Rooted in yourselves, right? Not denying who you are in this conversation, but fully embracing yourselves. Thank you so much for spending time with us today and for sharing with the congregation. Everyone, I hope in this conversation, I know you got something out of this one. Because like last week, I took so much from last week and so grateful for Hala and Trevor, Vanessa and Megan last week. And we look forward to having more conversations, pulling folks right out of the congregation. Pastor Lena, any closing thoughts for us?
Yeah, I think I would just circle back to, you know, this encouragement to stick with it in your own, you know, I'll borrow Trevor's analogy of practice, kind of this practice of being aware and present always, that God is always moving, always. The Holy Spirit is always active in us and around us. And so, you know, I think the maturing that we all have to do in our faith is probably getting better at remembering that that's happening and paying attention to those moments when we can say that was God right there. So everybody stick with the journey. How is the word becoming flesh? How are you seeing it, being able to witness or test it or see the light and say that was God in you and around you? So thanks again, y'all, for the conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Yeah.
Bless you, everybody. We'll see you soon.